Orale! Bienvenidos and welcome to the Familia FFP podcast. This is your host, Jorge Martin, Familia. It's conference championship week, Familia. It is. Everything's cooking. It's beautiful. It's a beautiful thing. Final Four. I know we can't use that because of the March Madness, but no, we're using it here on Familia FFP, Familia. It is conference championships. We got the best of the best going out there, and it's great. And I just also want to make sure you're giving us a like and subscribe when you're visiting us on YouTube. You're here. Please give us a thumbs up. Maybe drop in a comment or two, tell a friend, share whatever you can. We want to keep growing in this space. We want to keep be able to give you this great content because we are year round. So, and also Familia, we're a proud member of the Fantasy Points Media Group. Please, right now, it's really the best time to log in, to subscribe. You get 30% off, no promo code needed. You get a 2023 subscription that takes you all the way through the Super Bowl 2024. So a lot of betting, a lot of information that you can get between now and the Super Bowl, help you win some money. And someone who has helped a lot of people win money is our invitado de lujo, who is right here. I should be pointing the correct direction. I'm telling you, Familia, back in August at Football Expo, I had the pleasure to participate in an auction draft with our invitado. I'm just so proud, orgulloso to say that over the past few months, he's invited me into some discussions with other content creators, people of color in the fantasy space. And I mean, we're looking to make some important inroads in the fantasy community just to make it better and kind of keep growing our own brands. You've seen his work at 4 for 4, Matthew Berry's Fantasy Life, Football Guys, Established the Run, and Yahoo. Somehow he keeps a day job as an engineer, Familia, and that's why he gives that kind of great outlook. And hey, you know what? He also finds a little time here and there to get some home brewing done. So we're going to talk about that. You know me, I like me a good cerveza here and there. He's a husband and father. And so because of everything else that he does, I know he hardly ever sleeps. So big bienvenido, mi amigo, Chris Allen. Chris, welcome. Welcome to Familia FFP. Bienvenidos. As we like to say in Spanish, estás en tu casa.
I appreciate you, Jorge, for letting me come by and just like talk with you for a little bit. Man, but with that intro, I don't know if you're talking about the right person. That's not, you didn't describe me. That sounds like a much more important person, a much more, a kinder person than what I, no, I'm just kidding. No, I'm so excited. I honestly, and we'll get into this as we have our discussion and whatnot. But I think the very first time that you and I kind of popped on a show together, I think it was that cooking show was with me. It was you. Yes. Hubo. And who is it? And Sven, right? Like we were just sitting there going back and forth.
Yes.
It was like an hour and a half, almost like 2 hours, right? Just sitting there talking about just like cooking, like, good, you know, because I think Bo was making some tacos that evening, if I'm remembering correctly.
Yes.
It was such a privilege to get a chance to sit down and talk with you while we were there at the auction. And like you mentioned, the cookout group that we're trying to put together right now and making some inroads in the fantasy space as it pertains to, I think, like minorities and like their voice here within the industry. I mean, such an important thing in my mind, not just from a personal standpoint, but also I think just the idea that we can start to see more folks that look like us out there talking, giving analysis, being in some of those like higher visibility roles. It's just something that has been on my mind for the past, since I got into the industry. But now that we're at least having those discussions with some of the folks in the group, having a chance to, talk here tonight with this project here, and hopefully we'll get some more members in the group being able to give their, talk about their stories and whatnot. I think it's just a huge, huge thing. So no, my appreciation that you're thankful for me coming on this show. I'm thankful for you allowing folks like myself to have the platform to get up here and talk about, whatever the case may be. But we got football games and we've got life. Yes. We've got so many things to talk about. So no, thank you for letting me come on.
And we got a couple of fans in there. You mentioned Sven, Fantasy Sven. He's in the house. Look at that. Yeah. So yeah, that was, carne tacos and it was carne asada too. It was just, oh, it was a good
time. Yeah, it was a beautiful evening. I loved it.
Man. Hello to the Rum Boys also, and also to Dame Overboard, one of our loyal followers, Alberto, also in the house, and Mr. Scampers, who's just, I mean, we got a live chat. No, it's awesome. But Chris, you know, you mentioned it, and it's awesome that to bring people together, because you know, it's so funny because we're all scattered across the country. Mm-hmm. And doing this fantasy, a lot of people are doing it, and it's good to know that there are other people out there, you know, just on our side, just when we're grinding away, but also just other people who are there like us, that you know, people have faced somewhat similar challenges. I'll tell you, you know, you talking about this when you were saying, it reminded me of the first time I stepped into a newspaper room. This was back in the late 80s, the LA Daily News out here, which became my first job, first real professional job. Uh-huh. I was the only minority in the room. Mm-hmm. And it was a bunch of kids, college kids interning and everything. All the staff writers were white. And these were people I ended up looking up to. And I think the great thing about this cookout group is that we're giving other people the faces to follow. We're giving other, you know, people to aspire to, which I think is just, I mean, I think that's doing great work. I want to ask, you shared it with me before, but I'd love to have you share, where did the cookout name come from?
Oh, honestly, that was a Marcus Grant special. I think like when we were kind of going back and forth in the DM thread, and actually before we even got to that point, let's take another step back to discuss, or I can give you guys the story about how the cookout kind of came together. Mm-hmm. So at the expo that, you know, we were both at just this past August, and definitely looking forward to the 2023 expo here within the next, it's only like 7 months away, somewhere in there. Yeah. But about this time last year, Bob Lung, since I live in Ohio, Bob's up near the Canton area. I'm down in Dayton, about an hour outside of Cincinnati. But Bob hit me up asking about if I could kind of corral a number of folks together to have a minority content panel. And I was like, wow, I think that'd be such a great idea for minority content creators to really have their voices heard at such a formal event like the expo. Great idea. But for me, even though I've been on, you can Google my name and like fantasy football, and like you'll see my articles, my podcasts. You can see like my dumb face, like on, you know, all over the place. And that's fine. But by and large, I am an introvert. I love talking. I love meeting new people and talking with new people and all that. But by and large, like I'm an introvert, probably why you don't see me posting a ton on social media and all that. So to be honest, while Bob asked me to do that, going out and actually, you know, finding or trying to get a number of folks to actually sit on this panel, man, that was a daunting task. I know only so many other folks that look like me that I could think of that would be on the panel. At least that would at least have the comfort level to go on and ask. Like I'd done a show with you, but we didn't know each other well enough for me to come over there and ask you like, hey, Jorge, I've talked with you twice. Do you want to be on this panel, you know, in August, that sort of thing. But Troy King, Laquan Jones, Ray Garvin, Marcus Grant, Jay Mike. I mean, there was a small group of fellas that I knew that I could count on to be like, hey, this is the deal. And I want to put this together. But how do we do it right? How do we do this so that if we have this discussion, what is like, will it actually have an impact? Will people walk away with some sort of understanding that, hey, I mean, these guys, you know, these people know what they're talking about, and we should start to recognize them or start to celebrate the fact that this is the thing that they're, you know, deciding to do either with their careers, part-time, full-time, or whatever. So while we couldn't come to a decision on how we were going to do this properly, at the very least, I was like, all right, well, let's at least just get together, because I know Troy, because we've done shows together, work at Football Guys, so on and so forth. Laquan, had some dealings with him. Ray, we were at DLF together before Ray like skyrocketed into, you know, the dude you see literally everywhere now. Marcus, been going back and forth since I was more of a fan than an actual analyst. All those things. And I was like, all right, well, if we're all going to be there and we might not be able to do this formal event, why don't we do an informal event? We'll just get everybody together. Yeah. Minority, you want to come hang out, have a few drinks on me, come hang out. And I think that was a success because we had about 10 of us had a conversation for about an hour talking about just the representation within the industry, pay scale, wages, places to work, like just like all of those, like, you know, conversations that are they're all important, right? Because if we do have like the situations that some minorities that come across once they get to a website, whether getting paid, not paid, what type of wages they're getting, all of those things, but just having real conversations for about an hour. And so afterwards, it was like, we want to keep that conversation going. So it was just a small DM thread, 10 to 15 of us, thereabouts. It's expanded to almost 50 at this point. And now, I mean, and as we were kind of talking, it was like, well, what are we going to call ourselves? Like, what's the name of this thing going to be? And Marcus tossed out the name. Well, we call it the Cookout. You know, that just a place that you want to be where you're just talking, right? Because that's the feel of any cookout, at least that I've ever been to. Like outside of, you know, if you're there with a bunch of family, someone could start arguing about something. But that's the vibe that we wanted to try and create. It's like just a community of people that can come together, not necessarily about sharing your work, but if you want to share your work, okay. But being in the place where you feel like you're a part of it, you feel like you're contributing to it, and you feel like you're progressing the conversation, which to me, the conversation is like, how do we get more, you know, minorities as a part of this industry? And can you progress that forward? And if that's something that you want to be about, then this is the community that you want, that you should be a part of. So like, that's really what we're about. And that's kind of how this whole thing kind of came to be. And this is just one of the many projects, like this podcast and a few other things that we're trying to initiate so that people do see more of us. People do hear more of us, and we start to build up our skill sets so that at some point, it's easier to find more people that look like us than saying, well, I don't know. I mean, you know, I only know like two or three people, you know, but now it's like we've got a community that we can build each other up together and then start to put ourselves out there like in the industry.
And I love it. And that's, I loved being asked to be a part of it. Troy was the one who, brought me in. And I love the fact that it really aligned with why I'm here, why I started Familia FFB, you know, with my two cousins, where we didn't see people like us, you mm-hmm. know, talking fantasy football. It was kind of like, oh, if you're Latino, go speak, you know, do it on the Spanish side. Well, you know, our friend Mauricio Gutierrez, he's dominating that. So I'm like, But the other thing is, you know, my cousins, my primos that I started this with, they don't speak Spanish. So it was just kind of like, all right, well, let's speak Spanglish. Yeah. Yeah. Just, throw in some, the orale at the beginning, throw in some references. And, but you know what? It was one of those things. It was just kind of to find our niche, but also to really just, you know, add to the representation and know that, hey, you know what, there's 30 million NFL fans who are Latino in the United States, and millions more for the rest of the Latin America and the rest of the world. You know what, we could be their English face. And that, I mentioned Mauricio said, hey, you know what, even though he is as big as he's gotten, he said, look, a lot of the people who are in Latin America, they just take their content from fantasy in English. So he said, you don't think you're just going after the 30 million, you're going after these other ones. So
didn't know that. Okay.
Yeah. And you want to know the most popular site, I mean, the most popular podcast in Mexico?
No, which one?
The Fantasy Footballers.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah. Go figure.
They
conquered south of the border too.
Yeah.
But it's, you know, but, and that's the great thing. And I love that, you know, I love the energy and just the sharing of ideas and, and really just the excitement and what really puts the cherry on top is that a lot of people, they don't need to be a part of the group. They don't need to be a part of the group to grow. Marcus doesn't need to. Ray doesn't. But nah. And Eric Moody doesn't need to. But you know what? They're doing it because, you know what, they don't want to be the only ones. And that to me is great. That to me is great. And you were able to kind of get things, you mentioned the Fantasy Football Expo, but now, you know, we were able to get something together for FSGA, which,
yes,
big win.
Yes. Yeah. And I guess my question to you, since you're going to be there, and for folks that don't know, so at the FSGA Winter Conference that's going down in Las Vegas here in about 3 weeks, correct? February 16th, if I'm remembering the date correctly, mm-hmm. at least like throughout that part of the week or whatever, there will be a workshop content panels going on throughout the day. And there will be a minority content creators panel at some point, like during the day. Jorge has agreed to be a part of it. James Coe will be there. Of course, James Coe, NFL.com, so on and so forth. Kendall Valenzuela from Fantasy Life, like she's going to be there. Dan Titus from Yahoo, Justin Henry. I mean, there's just to be like, we've got like our representation, at least the folks that have agreed to like represent like this group and represent, you know, minorities at this panel. But Jorge, I mean, what are your thoughts about this panel? Like, how do you see this kind of like, what do you see as the impact for this panel? I mean, are you just looking at it as just an event that you're going to be a part of? They're going to have the networking portion afterwards, so that, you know, the Matthew Berry's of the world, like so on, you know, all those folks are supposed to be there. But for that half hour, 45 minutes, what do you want folks to take away, like, as you guys are going to be up there?
I want people to take away what helped, what got us to where, to that point, you know, where, whether it be, you know, building a following or, you know, building a career outside of fantasy sports and kind of bringing that skill set in there, or just kind of like growing it. I mean, James is a great example of someone who just, you know, made something explode. I want to be able to everybody tell their different side of the stories, because we've got different age ranges and everything. And, so I want to see, and I also want people in the audience to know that kind of get something from that story. Maybe it's something, maybe they're someone who wants to get started, or someone who learns that, hey, you know what? Maybe there's a group that I've been neglecting a little bit, and there is a fountain of talent there that I want to go after. I mean, it may not be the people on the panel, but it's people through that panel, people in the cookout. Mm-hmm. And so that to me is what's exciting. Ray in one of our Zoom calls said there's a big pie out there, and I just want us to be able to there's plenty for us to eat. And mm-hmm. and I just thought that got me fired up. That got me fired up. So I look at that, and I look at this as an opportunity to just kind of get more faces out there, and just kind of show the talent level that's in this industry from the diverse backgrounds. And mm-hmm. I mean, yeah, I love the fact that, you know, someone in South Florida, someone in New York, someone mm-hmm. in Texas, and I mean, just from all over the country, they can love this game, and we can all have a conversation about it. That to mm-hmm. me is what's special.
Yeah, and I think that's, you hit the nail on the head, is that in the fact that there's always going to be like more folks out there that can contribute. And it might not be the, you know, it's certainly going to be, you know, more so than just like you folks like up there on the panel. But maybe if you reach out to that one person, or you talk to that one executive, or you talk to that new content creator that like just created their Twitter account like the day beforehand, and they're trying to figure out like, well, how do they make it in this space? Because they feel like it's such a, you know, a big world or a big pond that they're stepping into. And like, how do you even get started? And if they happen to be in the minority crowd and they're looking for that type of guidance, hey, we're right here. You know, like there's just the wealth of knowledge and experience that we've got from the people in the group. Like, shoot, I don't even know. I would love to hear stories about you, like working at the newspaper, because I didn't even know about that, like, until you just started talking about it.
So I got plenty.
Oh, I'm sure you do. And it's just like, but things like that where we talk about not just our work here, like in this fantasy space, but for the people that are doing part-time jobs like myself. It's just like, who are you after you unplug your mic, turn off your camera, and you walk away from your computer? Once you shut down Twitter, who are you? outside of, you know, your Twitter handle or your article or your podcast or whatever content that you're out there creating. And my hope is that through this panel, y'all up there representing the group, but obviously you're out there representing yourselves, representing your families, and people get a sense of, you know, who you are outside of all this. And I think having this opportunity for us to be able to do something like this, I mean, such a huge thing, I think, for us to be able to go out there and really just kind of show the industry like who we are. And again, my point, and to your point as well, I mean, not just content creators, but just people. Like, you know, it's like, who are you? And that's one of the biggest things that I've always wanted to try and figure out. And that's hopefully the thing that this group is going to try and, you know, bring out to like the rest of the industry.
Yeah, I love that. You know, we could be exactly. We're people. But hey, you know what? Let's go grab a beer and argue over whether we want to go zero RB or onslaught RB. So
yeah,
or elite QB. Just talking about the different and that you know, just that common finding that common ground, but also learning different things. That's why I love to work in food references into this and you know, and all of that stuff. That, you know, that's how I ended up on that show with you mm-hmm. guys. But what a blessing. And you know, one of the things that we've also talked about, and it's something that we're kind of, this is kind of workshopping right now, is working, is a dedicated show to those minority content creators. And I think that's awesome. I love that it's, you know, we can have it be a revolving cast. It doesn't have to be one host with everybody. It's like two people it could be two people just kind of, you know, having a conversation, interviewing each other, but getting each other's life story, which I think mm-hmm. Is going to be really special. So everybody be on the lookout, because there's going to be a lot of people sharing about that.
Yeah.
That's going to be a beautiful thing. From that one, what are you most excited about seeing coming out of that, those conversations?
Really just learning about the people outside of Twitter, outside of the content creation, because my focus with this group as of right now is how do we build this community, and how do we start to how do we harness the energy that a lot of folks have right now towards content creation? But now it's all, you know, we're all going in like slightly different directions, right? Like, because we're all working at different sites, we're all at different experience levels. We all have different skill sets. I mean, some of us are writers, we're podcasters, folks that are on social, like doing TikToks. I mean, all those different, you know, individual areas of, you know, fantasy content creation, which is fine. But once you create that community, once you have that, once we all find that the common ground between us, whether it's, you know, I'm a Bengals fan. You know, I find a couple other folks that are, you know, that are also fans of the Bengals, or maybe they live in Ohio. Maybe they're also like engineers outside of fantasy football, like myself, or their parents, because, you know, I've got three kids, whatever the, you know, life experiences or sports connections or whatever connections that we can make that kind of bring us together, so that once we are past the old, past the whole, you know, hi, my name is Chris. Hi, my name is Jorge. Like that sort of thing. It's just more of, we can just talk, you know, we can just have just a normal conversation where it's not just an interview or whatever. We might find out tidbits about each other like here and there. But once we get past that, then it's, well, now we can build each other up. So as, you know, if let's say you're looking to, I don't know, if you're looking to be a better writer, doubt it at this point. But let's say if you were looking to be a better writer and you've been talking with Marcus Grant, I mean, Marcus would be probably more than happy to sit down with you for a little bit, say, all right, well, you know, I like, you know, articles that are structured like this, or maybe if you tried that, or maybe you did this or whatever. Or if you wanted to look, do better, like your on-screen presence, like if you were looking to get a job in TV or something like that, James Coe. Oh. Lord knows how many shows like that man's been on. But, you know, the same type of thing where it's like, now we're past the getting to know each other phase, but now it's about building each other up phase. And that's where, you know, that community aspect really starts to set in. And that's my hope for, you know, in the next, you know, 3 to 6 months, as we start to find out a bit more about each other, establish that level of comfort with each other. And also, you know, the folks, you become I guess, comfortable with admitting your own weaknesses, because some folks are kind of guarded in that way, and that's okay. But admitting you need help and saying like, hey, you know, I'm just not so good at the social media portion, which it's 100% me. Like, I'm about to be 40 years old. Like, that whole social media stuff is probably completely passed me by. But if I wanted to become better at like posting or doing TikToks or, you know, any of those other aspects of being a part of this social media world that we live in, I could probably just, you know, post it. If you were to like post up in the DM thread, hey, I'm looking for some help on this. And maybe a few people might raise their hand, be like, you know, hey, you know, I got a half hour, whatever. I can show you how to do this, whatever. Like that's my hope for the, you know, in the coming months, like for the group and starting to learn about each other, starting to learn about each other's skill sets and just making those connections that kind of really, really start to pull us together. Cause I know for us, it was like food, carnitas, tacos, like, hey, like that's, yeah, but it's just like those types of connections that bring us together. That's what I'm about.
Oh, you're making me hungry now. It's almost dinner time out here. I already ate, and
I'm already, you know, if I could find some flank steak or something like that, and you know, turn the grill on or whatever, I'd do it too.
Oh goodness gracious! I know. Yeah, it's good to be thinking about warm weather stuff this time of year. So, yeah, you know what you were talking about, LQ. I told him when he moved out here to LA, I said you're gonna love January when it's 65 degrees out here, and that's everywhere right. it's 12, sure. But that barely happened. So, but it's we got a cold front coming on. But I think familia. Everybody out there, you guys keep an eye out, looking for a lot of this content that's going to be out there, and just everybody, it's everybody raising one another up. I think I think that the entire goal is really, I mean, yes, we're making everybody, we want everybody to grow, but I think we make the fantasy industry better that way. I mean, just everybody being, you know, having so many people involved, I think it's just so much better.
Oh yeah, without a doubt, because you always see, I think regardless of skill level, I would say anybody that's willing to put themselves out there. By putting themselves out there, it could be writing an article, it could be hopping on a podcast, it could be doing a TikTok or whatever, but you can always hear or feel like the energy, the excitement with each piece of content that they do, because most folks, they typically feel, I mean, you wouldn't go out there and write an article or do a podcast or whatever if you didn't feel strongly about the subject that you're talking about, or if you weren't excited to do it, right? Because who would be willing to, you know, spend an hour doing a show or however long it takes to put together a TikTok or however long it takes to write an article if you didn't feel it? If it was, you know, I guess if somebody was paying you a boatload of money to do it, I guess that might be the motivation, but you would be motivated to do it, right? So it's just, if you're willing to do that, but it's just like the, you know, all of the, like, but you're not strong in that area, right? You're like, you want to write about something, but you're just not the best at being able to relay the things that you're thinking about and like the emotions, or even being able to structure your argument correctly. It's just not easy for you to translate that on paper. Or if you hop on the mic, once you start talking, your thoughts get jumbled up and you know, you're just not as strong on the mic. You're not as strong as presenting your argument in a concise manner. So it's just, but the excitement's there, the raw talent, the raw emotion is there for a lot of folks. But what if you had a community where somebody could hop in and be like, hey, you know, I see what you're trying to get at. You know, I see where you're going with this, but if you know, did this instead, or if you adjusted the way you did this, or even just something as simple as adjusting your lighting, or you know, whatever the case may be, you know, if somebody were there to provide that mentorship or that guidance, so that as you do start to get more reps, as you do start to write more, you start to get on the mic more, that improvement starts to show, then it's just now you're building somebody up. Now that confidence becomes, you know, that now you, that confidence is growing, and then now everybody really starts to, I guess, profit from that, right? I mean, everybody starts to become better because now it's a new aspect. It's a new set of eyes or a new voice, like in the community, that's providing some insight and some analysis and their perspective, which to me, it's all just, I mean, such a positive thing that I would think like for the industry, if we can get more of that, like out there.
Speaking my language, I'm so pumped, so pumped about this, so pumped about this. I know we had a Zoom call a few days ago, and now it's just just so much better, so good. And I think now everybody's kind of gotten decompressed a little bit on the season, and now they can get into off season projects. Now, are you feeling kind of with the season still in the rearview mirror, how are you feeling on how things went? Any kind of favorite lessons learned that you just can't wait to implement for your 2023 strategies?
Well, my season isn't over yet. Folks that know, I mean, as mentioned early, you know, I'm a Bengals fan. You know, repping my, I mean, I've had a love-hate relationship with Cincinnati for the past like 20 years or so, from the Carson Palmer era to the Andy Dalton era, Marvin Lewis, you know, all those things. I can still remember what I was doing and what I was immediately doing after the Jeremy Hill fumble, which was nothing productive. But you know, we moved past it. But you know, it's just, you know, that stuff happens, but now we're in a better place. Right. So my season's not over yet. And we still got a little bit more time, before I get to, you know, hopefully, you know, scream and, you know, probably cry, like if they wind up hoisting the Lombardi here within the next like few weeks. But I would say that like this year, like one of the biggest things that I've taken from the fantasy, or not just from the fantasy season, just the NFL season, things happen in pockets. So
yes,
trying to, I guess, call something as a hit or a miss, or one game being the referendum on an entire season for a player, I've tried to do less and less of that over the last like couple of seasons. But I think like this season was probably like the biggest one, and probably the easiest way for me to explain like what I'm talking about. I mean, look at the Bengals. First 4 weeks of the season, how many folks were calling them frauds? And I was not to say I was in that camp, but at the same time, I was like, oh man, are we back to, not to say that we're going to be back to where we were at like 4 or 5 years ago, but is the same, are they trying to rely on the same play style that got them to the Super Bowl last year, where it was trying to hit explosives, where you know, Joe Burrow taking a ton of sacks? I mean, all of those things. But I mean, things change, they adjust, things get better. Injuries occur, you know, because we lost Jamar Chase for a few weeks here and there. But it's just, you know, but that pocket was instantly like everybody thought that was going to be, you know, oh, the Bengals are frauds. That's it. Yeah. Joe Burrow, nah, he's probably going to be a pretty decent quarterback. But Zach Taylor, terrible. Joe Mixon, bust. You know, offensive line, trash again. But things change. Things get better. And I think so much so that I think that is easily like one of the biggest things that I've taken away from the season, is that we need to evaluate things like as they change. Now, if this had that extended throughout the entire season, I've been, okay, fine. You know, I'm just going to pack away all my Bengals gear and, you know, I'll just, you know, walk around, you know, Dayton and Cincinnati. Like it's, you know, I'm cool with them, you know, but it's not that big of a deal. But what about you, man? Like how, well, first off, as I'm finding more about you, like what is, are you LA Chargers? Yes.
Rams.
Okay. Okay, well, we can't be friends, like, you know, too much with LB, you know, Bengals last year, but maybe that's okay. That was
I put away the Aaron Donald shirt just for this one, so I kept that one. I didn't want to have flashbacks.
I mean, salute to Aaron Donald. I mean, the fact that, you know, a guy of his size, like for the position that he plays and how dominant he's been since he came into the league. I mean, there's no hate like for Aaron Donald. I might be upset, you know, that we weren't able to, you know, get past him on that one play that might have changed things for us. But no, salute to, I will always give respect to greatness. But what have been, like, what's been your biggest like takeaway like from the season?
The biggest, you know what? I love what you were saying about the season in pockets, because there's so much that I think there's the biggest lesson. One of the biggest lessons is patience. At certain, you know, but recognizing when you need to be patient and when you need not to be patient.
Yes.
Is, you know, I had a team where I dropped Justin Fields after like week three really paid for it because I kept Tom Brady for him because I thought, so it was almost like I saw that. So it's really just recognizing when to be patient. I think another thing is just, really recognizing the value of the wide receiver. And I think it's just, and I don't know if I'm ready to go zero, but in my strategies and in my takes.
Haven't converted you all the way yet?
I did a couple that did okay, but I don't think I'm ready to go all the way because I still need that running back safety blanket. But I'm teetering. I'm very much on the edge. I've got enough friends who are really in the industry who are really hammering on me on that one. But yeah, you're right. I especially love what you said about the season in pockets, because I know that's why I very rarely talk about how a team is doing over the season long, like a defense is doing over the season long, because of the fact that, you know, I really go in like 4 to 6 week increments. And just to make sure that I'm not if they've been bad, and I really try and one of the things that I really especially go is, yes, they were good against those, that let's say they were good against quarterbacks for those 4 weeks. Who were they going up against? Were they great? Were they great against Mahomes and Burrow, or were they great against Davis Mills and you know, those kind of guys? That's the thing to keep an eye on, and that's what I want to make sure to keep pushing it out there. I could really go on and on, about this kind of stuff, but I know we want to get into the game. But I want to ask you a beer question first. Cerveza.
I'll go ahead. Yeah,
I know you're an avid brewer. What are your? I remember on a podcast you were on, you talked about a pineapple beer.
Oh yeah,
that you created would have been some of your greatest hits. And from a personal standpoint, is there something that you like? IPAs, ales, stouts, any of those?
Well, hold on, let's see if I can find it. Oh, since we're doing this live, this is like great.
I gotta
find it. I'm not trying to, like, you know, to brag or anything like that, but since when we talked. So that was like earlier in the year. Nope, it's not that one. So I did a competition. Yeah, 2022. There we go. So I gave the description for that pineapple beer, right? Earlier in the year. On the show. And I was like, yeah, you know, I want to add some orange juice. I want to add some pineapples. I want to add, you know, a little bit of fruit, like here and there, to this recipe that I've been working on for the past like couple of seasons. And, submitted it to Beer and Sweat is the name of the competition. It's down in Cincinnati like every year, hosted by one of the brewing clubs that are down there. And bam, first place medal that I got for that one this year. I love doing like those types of beers, to be quite honest, where it's just you're going off script. You're trying to create something based off of the things that you like. And that's really one of the reasons why I got into, I wouldn't say that I got into homebrewing. It's why I continued to homebrew. I got into homebrewing. Now I've been doing it for 12, 13 years now or something like that. I got into it because I was a beer snob at the time, where it was, I just want every single IPA that I can get my hands on. I want to drink nothing but like IPAs, pale ales, give me a Sierra Nevada, whatever. That's what I want. You know, I want bitter, I want all that stuff. Super beer snob at the time. Horrific. Nowadays, you can either find me drinking either one of my own homebrews, or you're just as likely to see me drinking a Colt 45. It doesn't matter. But I like brewing now because for the things that I like. I like brewing the things that are enjoyable to me, and understanding the process, what it takes in order to get this flavor or to create this this aroma or whatever. That's the fun part in terms of creating. It's almost like cooking, which is why I like to do the same things. My wife always gets upset when I go off script whenever I'm making a recipe. She'll give me, like, because she's always the follow the directions type of person. But I'll take a look at it and I'll just be like, yeah, I can make that better. Let me just try this, and I'll do this, add some garam masala here, a little bit more pepper here, and throw some cumin here off the side. Hey, it's better, right? So for homebrewing, it really is that for me. And since we're now finally getting into the off season, and like the true off season is here, getting close to it. Well, I haven't brewed since, I think, November. I think it was the last time that I brewed. I did like a pumpkin ale about that time, which was beautiful. Like, absolutely. I use like actual, like legit, like pumpkin meat, where you put it in the oven at, I think you put it in the oven about like 350 with some brown sugar and honey on top of it, add it to the mash. So you actually get like the pumpkin flavor, very few hops, but then on the back end, add some cinnamon, nutmeg. It's perfect. So did that back in November, but now since we're getting into winter and I'm looking forward to like the springtime, looking at doing a lager, looking back into pale ales, but definitely just back into those like West Coast IPAs with like the fruity flavors that I traditionally like to make, just because again, that's what I like. You come to my house, you get what I like, you know, that sort of thing.
That's perfect. You're
but what do you like? So, but we were talking, and so you've had what? You've had some Pliny.
Pliny,
which got one of those.
Oh, you know? Yes.
Yeah, if I can get my hands on it, since all the way out in Ohio, you can't find like that. You can't find that stuff.
We can barely find it here.
Really?
Yeah. There. It's like they have. I have family that is filled with beer snobs. So, you know, when they and their I've got one of my cousins who lives about an hour away from there, and he'll make the trek, but because it's limited amount of times that they have it, and when he brings it down, it's almost like okay. It's almost like, okay, you're going to the mountain. Okay. Muhammad going to the mountain. We're all just, let's all pay homage to the great Russian river. So that was great. And actually, and I mentioned in the show sheet, one of my cousins for his 50th birthday, he was able to acquire a case of Hetty Topper.
Oh,
and so we finished that case that big Mexican family. We had a lot of people there, but no, he said, I got this one for you. And I was just like, make sure to drink it out of the can. So it was
beautiful.
I don't know which one I like better. I think Hetty Topper is a little smoother. Mm-hmm. Pliny had a little more bite, but I love them both the same. I think
balance, because I think Pliny, well, I guess since I got the bottle right here, I think it's what, closer to like 8% or something like that ABV, mm-hmm. but it doesn't drink like that, which is the thing that always trips me out. But I see Scampers, to your question, I haven't done any steam beers yet. Always wanted to try it. I've gone through and looked at like the process like for making them. If I'm going to try and lager this year, I might try and do that too, but it's really just kind of, cause I've had like a couple in the past, but yeah, I'd at least want to try it and see if I can create something that's close to one.
Oh, you're going to have to describe it. Or if they make it the way, if you make them and you still got a few that in Canton, I'll have a red solo cup waiting.
Oh yeah. I would definitely. So you just do it at like you're essentially just the fermentation process changed. So you're doing it at like an ale temperature, than what you would do for a lager or something like that. So it's just like the dip, like the fermentation. And since now I have a chamber that I can actually, like change the temperature and like control it rather. Mm-hmm. That's why I'm like interested in doing a lager, because I actually do it like in the correct style. So steam beer, I might have to try it.
Oh, outstanding. Outstanding. Mr. Scampers, gracias. Gracias for the comment.
Now you put you put more ideas in my head.
Summer projects. Summer projects. That's what they're there for. Okay, so let's jump into the weekend. Conference championship weekend. We're gonna start ease into it.
Okay.
49ers at the Eagles. Oh, there we go. There we go. So we're going
to. Oh, it's not time for that game yet. It's not time for that game yet.
Yeah, this is the early game. This is the early game. We're not prime time yet. Yeah. So 49ers at Eagles. I mean, this one, such a contrast. I mean, these are the two best teams in the NFC.
Mm-hmm.
And we got the I want to feel free to drop in your thoughts. I know one of the things that you love to talk about is because you have the FFWX in your name is on the weather side. This is going to be unseasonably warm, about a 50 degree day in Philadelphia. The site that I checked, 8 to 10 mile an hour winds. So mm-hmm. No concerns there. So one of the things that I looked at, Brock Purdy, mm-hmm. all eight wins, including the one where he took over in relief.
Yeah.
All of them have been in the Pacific time zone. So all of a sudden, it's now he's got to go cross country. Oh, by the way, six of those games were home games. Not surprisingly. So that helps. Now you got to go to Philly, one of the most raucous, toughest crowds out there. You got the rookie. I'm not feeling good about him. What are your kind of thoughts and expectations on the Purdy side?
So first question that I want to shoot over to you. Should Brock Purdy be up for the Offensive Rookie of the Year award?
For eight, you know, what, six games?
Yeah, for what, he had five or six starts like the in the regular season.
I think it was five starts, six games total.
Yeah.
It's hard to get, you know, put him in there when like a Ken Walker's a 1,000-yard rusher. You know, Damian Pierce was almost a 1,000. It was almost a 1,000-yard rusher. Chris Olave and I think Garrett Wilson were both 1,000-yard. I'm fine with him being up for it. I'm putting the other guys in front of him when it comes to whether he should be the winner or not, whether he should be the winner or not. It's hard to give a guy for half a season. So
not even that, half a season, yeah. Right? Like a month and a half, like worth of games. It's just like, I understand. And that's the part that I can't get past. 100%. I agree with the folks saying that he's played great. I mean, even almost if you want to go by pretty much any metric, you want to go by EPA per play, you want to go by success rate, you want to blah, 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 blah. He's been better than Jimmy Garoppolo so far, at least in terms of what he brings from a mobility standpoint, even once like the pocket breaks down, like out of structure plays, like all of that. So that's my problem with him being up for the Offensive Rookie of the Year portion is he didn't play like the year, like he didn't fulfill like the year part. So that's my problem. That's my problem with it. So, But for the 49ers specifically, like in that game, for me, it comes down to can the Eagles get pressure like on Purdy? Mm-hmm. And two, can they get enough pressure so that they move him out of the pocket and specifically like moving out of the pocket, like to his left? I think we saw it against like Seattle was able to do it like a couple of times. Dallas was definitely able to do it a couple of times where you flush him out to his left. And that's typically for right-handed quarterbacks where they start to have like some of their breakdowns in terms of like accuracy and all that. They were just for, I would say the contrast between like Purdy and Dak. Dak Prescott, he threw two interceptions. Well, like when he threw those turnover worthy plays, the 49ers caught those balls. Brock Purdy for the two, he tried to throw at least a couple. But it's just Dallas didn't come down with them. And so we might have been having a slightly different conversation about Purdy, like overall. But for the 49ers, like my concern, honestly, is their health. But we've got, 2 days straight now? No Christian McCaffrey. No Deebo Samuel. I don't even think, I forget if Elijah Mitchell practiced today or not.
He did not.
Yeah, so it's just while McCaffrey's saying he's playing, I mean, Deebo, I mean, they're all saying they're playing. So there's no doubt in my mind that they're going to be out there on the field like come Sunday, but it's just how effective are they going to be on a down-to-down basis? If they happen to tweak something, you know, in the first quarter, second quarter, that sort of thing, how effective are they going to be throughout the full 60 minutes of the game? Like that sort of thing, where I do think with the way that the Eagles coverage has been, like their perimeter coverage has been just rock solid. Darius Slay, James Bradbury on the outside, outside of a few explosive plays that have kind of popped up like here and there, it might be difficult for Purdy to be able to test them deep. And with their nickel corner, Avante Maddox, I think he is at least back. I don't know. I don't think he practiced today, but at least with their nickel corner coming back, that might even pose more problems. And we haven't even talked about, you know, their defensive front. So if the health is still a concern over the next couple of days and their coverage starts to also pick up for the Eagles, man, it's gonna be tough for me to see the 49ers coming out of the other side of this like on top. But I would say though, even if they don't wind up winning, I don't think it's gonna change my opinion of Brock Purdy. I think the kid's good. I give the kid his due. But I don't care. For me, it's just has he been able to execute the scheme he's been given? Because I think a lot of folks wanted like double negatively count the fact that he plays for Kyle Shanahan and has Deebo Samuel, Brandon Ayuk, George Kittle, Christian McCaffrey, like yada, you know, the list goes on and on. But the kid's been good. Kid's been accurate. Mm-hmm. Kid's been capable of making explosive plays, like all of those things. So while I do think the Eagles wind up winning, it's going to be a close game. But I think Purdy has at least put himself in the conversation, because say they come back at the end of this season, it's Trey Lance should be coming back like next year, at least assuming if they don't try and trade him or anything like that. Jimmy Garoppolo should still be on the team, and it's going to be him. He should at least be in the conversation for quarterback battle at this point. I don't see why he hasn't at least earned that right. But for this game, it's easy enough for me to look at this and say that I think the Eagles have at least somewhat of the upper hand.
No, definitely. And I mean, we've talked about Purdy a lot, but there are a lot of guys. I mean, I've got he's got a prop of 220.5 passing yards. Mm-hmm. I think it's gonna be hard for him to get there. That Eagle secondary, especially, you got Bradbury and Slay on the outside. They're tough. And you mentioned Avonte Maddox. So, and I think they've only given up to one 300-yard passer, and that was Dak Prescott in Dallas. So, I think it's going to be tough. Yeah. You mentioned CMC. I mean, they've been kind of taking care of him a little bit. He only playing about 2/3 of the plays.
Yeah.
But, it's a calf, which can't be it's tough. It's tough. I mean, I don't know if I can, spend up in, the DraftKings dollars to get them with the $8,000. One guy I'm interested is Deebo Samuel, because he's got the rushing. I think there's going to be a tough time getting there, but I think they might give him some extra carries and to give CMC a little bit of a break. I think that's on the other side, though. I mean, we haven't talked about how good the Eagles looked last week.
Yeah.
And they're, I mean, that first play where Jalen Hurts threw out there to Devontae Smith and threw it 40 yards in the air on it, just threw a dime to it. And I just thought, wow, I'm looking at that one. And that convinced me he's back. And I think that's going to be the difference.
Yeah, I 100% agree, because that was the problem for the Cowboys, and the fact that while Dak was more than willing to try and challenge their perimeter corners and try and challenge them deep, they didn't do it enough. And that has really been one of the strengths of the Eagles passing game, because if you've got compared Dak's downfield weapons, right? You've got CeeDee Lamb, who's typically while they wanted to move him out into this flanker role position, hasn't really solidified that came in that role. So he's been more of a slot guy. But Noah Brown and a Michael Gallup, who's really just a year off the ACL tear, I mean, those have really been his downfield threats. Now compare that to what Jalen Hurts has, from AJ Brown to Devonta Smith. Shoot, Dallas Goedert can even get downfield if he needs to. So if Hurts still has that time in the pocket, Lane Johnson, I think, was limited earlier today, but still, that offensive line has been just full of ass kickers this entire season. At least two all-pro offensive linemen. I know Jason Kelsey earned all-pro at center. I wasn't sure if Lane Johnson also got all-pro.
I think
either way, I mean, at least two Pro Bowl offensive linemen standing there in front of you. But so far, he should be able to, he's shown that he's been capable of handling, at least managing a clean pocket, and being able to connect with either of those receivers downfield. And forget it doesn't matter, at least to me, it doesn't matter if they're not going to get explosives out of their running game. I mean, San Francisco has essentially shut that down throughout the entirety of the playoffs. I think that their explosive run rate allowed has been around 7-8%, which is the lowest of any of the playoff teams. So I'm not expecting any of the, long runs from Kenneth Gainwell, because I think he had a long run against the Giants last week. I think he had over 100 yards, if I'm remembering right. Mm-hmm. Jalen Hurts might get his short scrambles or design rushes that allow them to move the chains, but I'm expecting an efficient day, but not an explosive day, if you get what I'm saying. Almost like the Bengals last week, where it was just chunk run after chunk run after chunk run to keep them ahead of the sticks. But even if they have just an efficient day on the ground, Jalen Hurts is a passer, but those passing weapons, their ability to challenge, Fred Warner, Hufanga, I mean, any of their outside corners, they should be able to at least give the 49ers a run for their money.
Yeah, and where the 49ers have shown some vulnerability this year has been in the past. Patrick Mahomes took them for 423 yards earlier in the season, and Jarrett Stidham, that household name.
That was such a weird game, right?
Yeah. That was your fellow Bengal fan, Andrew Hall. I don't know if you know him.
He'll be at my house on Saturday. Yeah.
Oh, he had in a group chat that we're in, he had said, wouldn't it be just like it for him to throw four TDs? And I was just like, oh, come on, he's not going to do it. I saw him in Auburn. He wasn't that good. Yeah. After he did that, I said, I'm here to officially apologize to you, Andy. That's the thing. They have gotten beat up. Some of the big time wide receivers have, CeeDee Lamb got him last week. DK Metcalf got him the previous week. Devontae Adams got him in that big game against the Raiders. Yep. So that's why, you know, and what do the Eagles have? Big time wide receivers. So I'm looking at all of them. All right. So main event. So here we go. There you go. We're representing. Rule the jungle, everybody. Rule the jungle.
Yes, sir. We run the
north. Who day? Mi amigo. How, 1 point favorites on the road. So obviously a lot of it is tied to that ankle for Mr. Mahomes. But Joe Burrow, he's gone up against some tough defenses the past few weeks. He's been able to get it done. I mean, obviously the Baltimore Ravens are just dogs on defense, and the Bills and the snow, but they were able to get it done. They actually looked much more natural in the elements than the Bengals did. I mean, than the Bills did. Where do you see them attacking the Chiefs this week? Do you see them doing it through the air with Burrow, or bringing out Mixon, who got only his second 100-yard game of the year last week?
No, I think they're still going to try and attack them at the intermediate and deep parts of the field. So I do think that whether it's been like Chris Jones or Nick Bolton or some of the guys that the Chiefs have up front, they've still been able to generate enough of a pass rush, or at least a run defense rather, in order to keep a lot of the opposing offenses at bay. So I'm thinking more of just like an efficient day, not as big of a day as Joe Mixon had like last week. That's right, Robbie, Joe Burr. But I do think though that with the way that the Chiefs have played the Bengals in the past, it's going to have to be more than just Ja'Marr Chase. I think he had like what that gave 31% target share. Like it was the 27 to 30% like target share just this past week. But all of the receivers are going to need to get involved with Steve Spagnuolo and the way that he sends pressure. I can almost imagine there's going to be like bracket coverage or at least a concerted effort to limit what Ja'Marr Chase can do. And just like we were talking about the Eagles and their ability to diversify their passing game, whether it's from AJ Brown to Devonta Smith and Dallas Goedert, there's certainly a similar amount of talent from Ja'Marr Chase to T. Higgins to Tyler Boyd and to Hayden Hurst. So I'm expecting more from T. I'm expecting more from Tyler Boyd on this quick, short, and intermediate game from both of them. Shoot, we've even started to see Joe Mixon and Samaje Perine involved in the passing game. I mean, there are multiple ways that they can get by. And while I don't see it as being an explosive day for the passing game, they might be able to have a shot at getting a couple of passes off here and there, but it's just more about their ability to like challenge the perimeter and keep things like kind of in front of them, like moving the ball like downfield, like through like T and Boyd.
So I buried the lead a little bit given your expertise, it's going to be about 18 to 21 degrees over the course of the game. Nine mile an hour winds, no precipitation in the forecast as of now, but we know these things can change. Does that impact your thinking on, I mean, and I'm going to ask specifically, you said you don't think it's going to be an explosive day, but we got a passing prop on DraftKings at 279.5. Mm-hmm. Where do you lean on that one?
For me, the weather at least like shouldn't affect that particular metric. From what I've seen in my studies, passing yardage or even not in a yardage, more from the, I look at things from the opportunity standpoint, not the result. So if teams are going to be passing less, running more, like that sort of thing, those are the types of effects that I look at when it comes to weather. And I've only seen teams start to have lower pass rates over expectation, lower neutral volume passing, any of that, like once you get into like the single digits, and even then it's kind of fluky because then you're trying, you have to control for the teams are actually playing like in those elements. So like Green Bay is one that's like typically come up because one, they're typically in the playoffs, and two, they, you know, they practice slash play like in a cold weather stadium, right? And open, like, you know, up in Lambeau Field. It's always cold, always snowing, something like that. So, but they're also a team that is typically like towards, I let's say, top 12-ish in terms of neutral passing rate, but they also play slow. So play volume is going to be affected. So it's just once you contextualize all of those things, it's like, all right, well, play volume might drop, but it's not as steep of a drop as some folks like to think. But typically that doesn't normally happen until you get into like the extreme portion. So if it's going to be like 1 to 2 degrees and potentially like -3 or -4 with the wind chill, okay, fine. I might start to, you know, tick down my expectations from either passing props, passing efficiency, or whatever the case may be. But around 18 to 20, yeah, I don't really see that being at least a massive factor in the game.
Oh, man. So you, which way are you leaning on that prop?
Over. Ooh, give me the over.
Love it. Love it. Love it. So, yeah, and I think you're right. It's, I don't think it's going to be a big mixing game. I do running backs haven't gone crazy against the Chiefs, but I think you're right. I mean, they're going to put the ball in Burrow's hands. On the other side, though, when Mahomes, we're getting the reports. He's practiced in full 2 days in a row. Now we're recording this on Thursday. Got one more day of practice. You know, we've seen it all before. Guys say they're fine. And then we see when they come out and play, and it's wishful thinking. How much is that kind of impacting the way you're thinking the overall result of this game is going to be? Because his legs are such a big part of his game.
Yeah, because I mean, you've seen him scramble. Like, if not even just like scrambling to create more yardage going forward. What was that like ridiculous? I think it was against the Broncos. When he was scrambling to the side and he did that, like, you know, I'm just going to lob it in some general direction. And Jerick McKinnon goes off for like a 30-yard touchdown. It's that stuff. It's the crazy Mahomes plays where we're just like, yeah, whatever, man. You know, just take your 6-7 points and just be on your way because we're done with your offense as of right now. I want him at full strength, to be quite honest. I don't want to have to I don't want to say like Chiefs fans or whatever, like folks going to come up with excuses. It's just more, I want strength on strength. I want a good game. That's where, you know, part of me wishes that Lamar Jackson would be playing the Ravens game. But the other part of me is like, well, maybe not. Yeah. Just, you know, glad that they made it through. But overall, I do think you're right in wondering what that's going to look like on a down to down basis, because as you said, he's made it through 2 full practices. From the shots that the beat writers have released, like out into social media, it looks like he's moving around fine. But what if he tweaks it? What if he, you know, what if Mike Hilton comes on a blitz from the outside, happens to catch him at the right time, and he tweaks it in the first quarter, and he can't move as much? We saw what it looks like when he has to be just a pure drop back passer. He was still one of the most efficient quarterbacks in the league on one leg. So I'm not trying to think about, oh, well, if he's hobbled, he's not going to be as effective. We literally just watched that scenario play out last week against a lesser defense in Jacksonville. But if they can at least keep him in the pocket, healthy ankle or not, I think that's their key to success. Because once the play breaks down and he's scrambling to the left or right or whatever, and all hell breaks loose, it's more likely that the Chiefs wind up putting 6 points up on the board versus, you know, 6 points going in the opposite direction with a turnover.
But, you know, when the thing that helped them, so helped them being the Bengals last year in that big comeback in the second half of the AFC Championship game, was the dropping 8. Mm-hmm. And that, you know, just flooded. He probably looked like he was seeing 2 defenders on every guy at that point. You got something like that. And I mean, they've got a great offensive line that did a great job against a very good defensive front with Jacksonville. I do wonder if they've got so many guys back there that it just, he's kind of like feeling like he needs to be a statue. I wonder what that's going to do to him. And that to me is going to be where so much of how the day goes for the Chiefs is going to happen. Does he get impatient, or does he, you know, pick things apart, or check down to, you know, Travis Kelce, you know, breaks off a route, comes back a little bit, or Jerick McKinnon, who's been such a weapon this year. I think he's a guy I like a lot. I was looking at his prop, his receiving prop is 29.5. I really like that for him. I think he's a guy who's got 29.5 receiving yards. Mm-hmm. I think he's a guy I like a lot this week. Another guy I want to recommend to people is Kadarius Toney, who is at 3,700. He had 7 targets last week, which was his high, by far and away as high with Kansas City. They're manufacturing touches for him. So if you look at that number, he's 3,700 in DraftKings. I think if you want a cheap play, he's a guy I'm looking at on that one.
I like that.
What prediction do you have? You got a score for me?
I'm thinking Bengals get out by a touchdown. I think.
I'm calling 24-21. So with an Evan McPherson late field goal to
just like last time.
Yeah,
it'll just be like last year.
And then you got to come out to Arizona for the Super Bowl. Okay.
Oh man, like it's either that or you'll find me down at a bar in Cincinnati watching the Super Bowl just like I was last year, but hopefully for better results. But I wanted to ask you about Kadarius Toney real quick, since you brought him up, because he has been such a spark. Like I think across just the fantasy industry, like when he was with his like short term as a rookie with the Giants, we all knew what he was capable of doing. And then when he moved over to the Chiefs, everyone's like, oh my gosh, I mean, his fantasy value just skyrockets. But to your point, those 7 targets that he got last week was the most he had seen since he had gotten to Kansas City. So I guess, so how do you see them using him this weekend? Because it looks like Mecole Hardman might be back. Right. And
I saw that it still doesn't look good.
Okay. But like Justin Watson has been getting targets alongside of him. Of course, we know Travis Kelce's getting him, Juju Smith-Schuster. So it's just the 7 targets. It definitely does like have my eyebrow raised. So how do you think they're going to try and like use him like this week?
I think there's going to be some screen opportunities with him. I think he's going to take at least 1 or 2 jet sweeps, maybe even a couple more than that. But I really think I don't know if he gets, you know, 10 touches, but I think he gets 5 to 7 try and get the ball into his hands and maybe get the ball into his hands quickly if they see that the Bengals are dropping 8 and just kind of like, you know, get some chunk plays out of the guy, because he's such a playmaker with the ball in his hands that I think he could do some different things. I think he's kind of a wild card for me for this weekend, him and McKinnon, because on those screens and check downs, I think those two could be the second and third receivers after Kelce, who I think Kelce is gonna Kelce that's where the Bengals have been good against outside receivers for the most part. Mm-hmm. But the tight ends have gotten home a little bit against them. Andrews and Likely did it against them in back-to-back weeks. Dawson Knox last week at 65 yards. So that to me is interesting. And I don't, for people who are rostering Isaiah Pacheco, can you give me a read on how the Bengals run D has been pretty good of late? It's been very good all season.
Yeah. And that's been one of the things that that's why I'm leaning more towards the passing game being the key to success. I mean, always is going to be like Patrick Mahomes is the key to the success, like for the Chiefs, like without a doubt, but they've at least been able to show some semblance of a balance, like on offense when it comes to running, because Pacheco, that dude runs like a madman. I mean, it just looks like he's like running to hurt other people and himself. Like when he takes a carry, like up the gut, But yeah, like you mentioned, I mean, DJ Reader's been such a solid like interior defensive lineman. I mean, they've been able to keep a lot of running games like in check. I mean, shoot, for the most part, kept Josh Allen in check. Like I expected more from Allen on the ground. I mean, other than him kind of barreling his way into the end zone last week, outside of that, I expected quite a bit more from the Bills on the ground. So if we're not seeing that out of the Chiefs, and we're also and they're kind of forcing Allen or Mahomes rather to take some of the checkdowns like you were mentioning, that's where guys like McKinnon, like the over on his receiving prop, I'm liking that. Kadarius Toney, like you mentioned, being able to get the ball in his hands quickly as possible and let him create after the catch, which he is definitely want to do. That's another one that I'm looking for. So I can see how that plays out, where Pacheco has all the attempts, let's say like 15, 16, 17 rushing attempts, if not more. But the yardage just isn't there for him.
Yeah, it's going to be slow. And by the way, the Kadarius Toney's receiving prop is just 36.5. So that, he might do that just on screens alone. Oh my goodness. Mi amigo, this is awesome. This was absolutely awesome. One last question that I love to throw out to my first time guests: favorite tacos. What are your favorite tacos?
Fish tacos, like easy. Like give me some fried cod or something like that. Toss it on there with some good slaw. That has been one of my favorite to make. Like anytime I go to just like a Mexican restaurant or something like that, I try and find out if they've got fish tacos there. Like I'll definitely try them. What about you? Well, what are your favorite?
You know what? Carne asada is the go-to. Okay. And birria tacos. I don't know if you've ever had that.
Yes, I made some myself. Ooh. I've tried a recipe and I tried to make it myself. That I would say that has to be up there. Actually, since I have a little bit of Asian in my family, I've actually made a birria ramen noodles a couple of times, and that is.
Hermano, man,
it is to die for. That is just like some of the best like eating that I've ever had. And so just but birria tacos, I'm with you there.
Oh man, I recommended that to someone in a podcaster in Wisconsin who's a Packer guy, and he sent me a message on Twitter and he's like, "You just changed my life." Those Oh man. And a shout out to Mauricio, who next time we got to find out Pastor Tacos, maybe. So if we could, that's one of the truth. Birria ramen. Oh man.
Yes. Oh yeah.
Oh, you really got me hungry. Oh, mi amigo, I'm wishing you good luck this week.
I appreciate it.
I do have some friends in Chiefs Kingdom, but you know what? You've suffered a long, long time. I just, if it's Bengals 49ers, I just hope there's not flashbacks. So,
But it's all love for me, man. I definitely don't. I'm here for good football. I'm here to support my team. So that's all I'm here about. So it's just, I wish the Chiefs good luck as well, because we're witnessing greatness, right? We're witnessing two of the best quarterbacks in the league like going head to head in both games. Well, I don't know. I mean, Purdy, the stories, the books yet to be written, the stories yet to be written on him. But I would say between Burrow and Mahomes, and we've got at least two of the top quarterbacks in the AFC. And I'm hoping we get to, see them go at it like for the next, 5-10 years or something like that, which is such a beautiful thing, right? Because when we were talking about what the league was going to look like after we lost Roethlisberger, I mean, Brady's on his way out the door, Breeze, Rivers, I mean, all the guys that a lot of us grew up watching, and who was going to be that next crop of quarterbacks that's going to take the league over afterwards. We're seeing it right here. It's beautiful, man. It really is.
I love greatness. I love greatness. And so that's why I hope that we're just seeing a lot of it just spilling all over the place. I grew up loving heavyweight fights. I grew up, with the Magic and Bird, Lakers and Celtics. So,
yes, sir.
Just those heavyweight championship fights. That's what we're seeing here, I think. Mm-hmm. And then in the 90s, it was Kelly, and you had Kelly and Marino and Elway, Esiason in your backyard. So all of those guys and we need more quarterbacks, by the way, in college football. Please, we need more quarterbacks.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Oh, mi amigo, let's close up shop. Let's put some fire on the cookout for now. But point everybody to what you got coming up.
For me, it's just trying to work behind the scenes to get the cookout going. I might have a few projects like throughout the off season, working over at Fantasy Life and a couple other spots. But if you see the hashtag the cookout group, retweet it. Or if you got questions, talk to me, talk to Jorge, Mauricio, Marcus Grant. I mean, anybody. I mean, if you see a minority content creator, I mean, please, we're looking for that support. We're looking to get our voices out there. So if you get a chance to do so, I mean, throw a retweet, try and collaborate with them or whatever the case may be. But the cookout, I mean, we're here. We're trying to grow, trying to get our name out there. So between, you know, me, you, Jorge, I mean, all the other folks that are part of it, I mean, that's where you're going to see more and more content from us over the summertime. So it's a beautiful thing, man. It really is.
No, it's perfect timing. Perfect timing to do this, and we've got the space and the air and the oxygen to be able to do it. And so looking forward to it. And again, so proud to be a part of it. And familia, thank you for joining us. So proud that you're here, and that we're in year four of Familia FFB now. As crazy as this may sound, so make sure you're giving Chris our let me make sure to put his Twitter handle out there at Chris Allen FFWX. Make sure to give him a follow. Familia, make sure you're giving him a follow. And also make sure, like, one more time, shout out to fantasypoints.com. Get your 30% off now. And for me, saying goodbye, find me at Jorge Martin 17. Those of you who are, if you haven't already, make sure you're going to YouTube. Give us a like and subscribe. If you want the audio version of this, you would have missed out on seeing Chris's medal in this one. But Apple, Google, Spotify, wherever you get your podcasts, thank you to Anchor for putting us out there. Again, make sure you go on original content at familiaffb.com. Once again, un millón de gracias to our invitado, Chris Allen. And to you, everybody, have a great championship weekend. Hopefully your teams come through. Hopefully your bets and your DFS lineups come through. And just remember, todos somos familia. Salud.